Will you pray with me? Gracious God, in Christ, you have promised to satisfy us with your abundant life. And so we bring our hungry hearts to you. Feed us now with words of life, with love, with your spirit of all grace. Amen. A few months ago, my dad's German shepherd, Nikki, ran away. My dad lives out in the country, and most of the people out in the part of the country where he lives don't have fences, including my dad. Nikki lives inside the house, but when my dad took her out one night, she spotted a deer and took off after it and did not come back. For almost a month, my dad searched for her and worried about her and put up signs. And then one night, around the same time he had just about given up, a woman called and said she had his dog. She told him she had found the dog running alongside the road, and so she pulled over and opened the door and called out to the dog, and Nikki hopped right in. So much for man's loyal companion. When the woman described for my dad where she had found this lost dog, we realized she had actually picked Nikki up right at the edge of my dad's property. The dog was basically home, but just at the border. And so the woman picked her up. When my dad got his dog back, he was so thrilled. And then he built a fence. Now my dad can let the dog out without worrying about her running off or getting picked up or getting hurt, and the dog can run around outside as much as she wants within the borders that he has built. She has both freedom and security now, and she and my dad are both very happy. The fence has solved a lot of problems. Of course, fences also create problems, too. If you think about it, some of the most fractious issues in our country right now have to do with this very thing, right? Deciding boundaries, drawing lines, building a wall. We have a lot of emotions about these issues of barriers and access. The hottest issues in our country come down to a disagreement about where certain fences should go, or if they should go at all. Immigration, barriers, and access. Healthcare, absolutely about barriers and access. LGBTQ rights, definitely. In fact, any time we're talking about any kind of human rights, we're talking about barriers and access. In fact, the political system itself is all about barriers and access. It is built, at least ours is, on a series of lines on a map. Districts drawn by people with power. Access and barriers. Who's in? Who's out? Who gets what? Who is safe? Who is threatening? Who is threatened? The conversations get heated because the question of fences goes to the core of what matters to us. We all want to feel safe. We all want to be free. We all want to have enough of what we think we need. And of course, the issue of barriers and access doesn't only matter in politics and economics and human rights. It's all over our religion, too. Some might even say it's what makes religion religion. Pronouncing judgments about who is in and who is out, who is right, who is wrong, who is safe, who is damned. Our fences help define us. They can give us certainty. They can make us feel like we belong. But as Robert Frost pointed out in his famous poem, The Mending Wall, there's something in us that resists them, too. In the poem, the narrator speaks of how every spring he and his neighbor go out and mend the cracks that have developed in the wall between their two properties. The neighbor loves that wall, saying, "Good fences make good neighbors." But the narrator says this: "Before I built a wall, I'd ask to know what I was walling in or walling out, and to whom I was like to give offense. Something there is that doesn't love a wall, that wants it down." Something in us does want walls down. At one time or another, most of us have had the experience of being walled out of something that mattered. Shut out from belonging, from fitting, from having what we needed. We've known the pain of being excluded. It starts when we are littlest children. Do you remember the first time you found out that all your friends went to a birthday party and you had not been invited? As we grow up, the walls and the reasons for them may change, but that reality is the same. Left out is a terrible place to be. And some of us experience the pain of it most pointedly in the one place where we most long to feel connection, in our faith. We say our prayers, we try to do the right thing, we come to church, we try to connect. But still, sometimes we feel shut out from what we think is supposed to be the right kind of spiritual experience. Or we just can't seem to find the acceptance we've been longing for. Sometimes we feel like outsiders because of our particular beliefs or our struggle to believe at all. Or it may be a seemingly immovable wall of grief or guilt, anxiety, or hurt that just won't heal. We feel blocked from finding our way in to the center of peace and acceptance and the joy we hear about. We don't like to be walled out, but that doesn't mean we want to be walled in either. That too is a problem. There are so many ways for us to feel contained or trapped. A job, relationship, living situation, a pattern of behavior, an addiction, a choice we made that cannot be undone, an identity or persona that we can't seem to shed. We may want out, but we can't find an exit. If there's anything worse than being shut out from what we want, it may be this: being trapped inside of something we don't want. Sometimes we discover that even our understanding of faith has become too confining. We've grown beyond our old understandings, but we don't know how to move our fences. Something there is that doesn't love a wall, that wants it down. But the walls are there, and we don't know how to get out or get in. There was a man who had been blind from birth, shut out from the experiences of the sighted world around him, shut in the darkness of his own blindness. And Jesus' disciples wanted to know, was this man's pre-existing condition his own fault or his parents'? They figured his blindness had to do with somebody's sin. That's a theological fence right there. Bad things happen to bad people. Theological fences are a way of keeping our world neat and orderly. But Jesus told them that's not how it works. And then he gave the guy free health care, and all chaos broke loose. He healed the man, gave him his sight, and the religious leaders were absolutely outraged. So they interrogated the man, and then they interrogated the man's family, and then they interrogated the man again. They tried to get the man to admit that this Jesus was a sinner, but all the man could say was, "I don't know about that. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see." Sometimes this is how fences get busted. You experience something that does not fit what you thought you knew, and you have a choice between what you now know and what you thought you knew. You have a choice. You can accept your experience without trying to contain it or define it or manipulate it or reduce it to your little understanding. Or you can resist that experience. The Pharisees resisted it, opposed it, denied it. What happened to the blind man did not fit their understanding. "We don't even know where this man comes from," they said. The man who had been born blind was a sign of the truth. But they couldn't handle the truth. So they drove him out of town. This is what happens when we mistake our own understandings for God-given fences. We cling to them, even in the face of new evidence. When Jesus heard that the leaders had driven the man out, he went looking for the man, and he found him, and he brought him into his fold, into his community of followers. And he gave the man not just physical sight, but spiritual sight. Now Jesus, in the passage we heard a few moments ago, interpreted this sign for the people by talking about sheep and thieves and gates and voices. The sheepfold is the fence inside which the sheep sleep at night. Thieves and bandits and wolves want to get in to steal and kill and destroy. But the fence is there to keep the sheep safe from those threats, from the things that would steal their lives. It keeps the sheep safe. The fence in this story is not about exclusion. It's not there to keep out other sheep. Other sheep are not a threat. And it's not there to imprison the sheep. It's just there to protect, to guard against all that would threaten their well-being. Well, Jesus' listeners did not understand his metaphors or what this little pastoral story had to do with the healing of the blind man. So Jesus tried again. "I am the gate of the sheep," he said. "I am the gate, and whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Pharisees who interrogated the man and his parents and the man again and then drove him out. The Pharisees were supposed to be the shepherds of the people. taking care of their well-being, making sure they were fed spiritually and cared for. Instead, in their attachment to their power and authority and their understandings of the truth, they hurt and they destroyed. They pushed out the man who told the truth about Jesus. This new truth, Jesus, just didn't fit inside their fence. So they had to destroy him. And they thought they had. But it turned out that even the grave was too small a fence to contain the truth. Where there was no way, God made a way. It's still true. I know there are a lot of fences in our world, in our lives, even in our hearts. And it takes a lot of sorting out for us to figure out which ones should stay standing. But whatever fences remain, physical, emotional, relational, spiritual, political, theological, whatever the fence, there is one who has come to us saying, "I am the gate." He is the opening. He is the way out to the total freedom and life-giving nourishment of God's abundance. He is the way in to the peace and security of God's welcoming love, to the fold of God's beloved community. He is the opening that will open us, if we let it, to new dreams for our world, new possibilities, new life, life abundant. The life we need, the life we long for ourselves and for all, the life is available. Christ is the gate. You do not have to stay trapped. And you do not have to stay shut out. Christ is the gate. Walk through.